We are back in the book of Psalm 119. We've been looking at it since the beginning of summer, and this is our last lesson. I know it's a little longer than the others. We had some general lessons in the early days, but I just wanted to go through Psalm 119 as we have through Proverbs and look at some of the key verses there and some of the key truths that they teach. And so that's what we've been doing, and just picking it up each week as we get there. Of course, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's the Bible that talks, the subject and the point behind it is the Word of God, the Bible, and all the truths that are around that. And so that's what we've been looking at. Last week, we looked at point number 10, which was true obedience is immediate and not delayed. This week, we're going to start with number 11. Here we go. We must purposely understand the real value in God's word over all that this life offers. In other words, the Bible has an inherent value. And the thing is, we need to understand its value. Look at the verses there. Verse 72 says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Now, can I just tell you that? Very few people believe that. The guy I worked with years ago, I was working in the warehouse, and we had a basketball league at the old church in the early days, and so I got a bunch of guys from my work. We had a team. I thought I'd bring them to church that way. And there was one guy there, and after church, after a basketball game one night, we took him out to eat. My wife and I took he and his wife out to eat. We set it up ahead of time. And he told me at work, he said, "If I play the lotto and I ever win, I'm going to give my wife half and I'm gone." Now, I thought he was joking. And we were sitting there at dinner, and somehow it got brought up. And he goes, "Oh, watch. Hey, honey, what am I going to do if I win the lotto?" She goes, "Oh, you're going to give me half the money and you're going to take off." Now, that's foolishness. Yeah. We value money way too much. I'm not against money, okay? But but there are things in life that are a little bit more important than that. And one of them we don't comprehend is the truths and God's revelation of his word to us in the Bible. It's better. Psalm 119, verse 127. "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Now, these verses are comparative. Okay, he's talking about his love and comparing it and what he feels is best and more important. Better means a benefit, welfare, a good thing. So the law of God's mouth is better for my welfare. It's a better thing than thousands of gold and silver. We think if we had all the money in the world, everything would be just fine. That's not necessarily the truth. In fact, it's a lie. The word above says it means in the place of authority. "Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold." It's more authority. It's way above gold. I think this is in your outline there. Life is a matter of priorities. That's what life is. What we do each and every day is because of priorities. How we live our life, it's because of our priorities. You may not have them written out. You may not have them firmly grasped in your mind, but they're there. Life is a matter of priorities. The priorities determine how we will live in this life. Now, if we understand that life's a matter of priorities, priorities are determined by what we place value in. So if you look at your life and how you live your life, you could take a day, you could take a week or whatever, you're going to live your life based on your priorities. And your priorities are going to be determined by what you feel is valuable. And it's a shame that we don't value the things that we should. Because if we did, we would do the right things. I think there ought to be value in our marriages. Why do we invest in our marriages? Because we value them. Okay? 5-second commercial for couples retreat. You gotta go. You know, well, my wife says she doesn't want to go with me. That's a danger. Okay? That is not a good thing. You know, we don't need it. Well, maybe you live on a different planet than I live on, but you need it. But regardless of that, date night, the whole nine yards, getting alone together, all of it. If your marriage is valued, you'll invest in it. What about your family? Okay, family. So many people say their children are important, but yet they spend very little time. They don't really do much, and there's not much in their life to say that their children are important to them. But if there's a value to us, I think church is important, and we ought to invest in it. Jesus is important. We ought to invest in that relationship. That's the greatest relationship you can ever have. And I'm not just talking about salvation. That's the start. I'm talking about the relationship we have with him after salvation. And everything else that goes on in our life is a result of that relationship with Christ. Okay? So I got these areas in my life, and some of them are going cattywampus and crooked, left, right, all that stuff. Listen, one way to get started to fix those is just to straighten up your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then you can work on the other things. It's not. But we won't do that if we don't value it. If we don't see the Bible as important. If we don't see spending time with God. And I could go on and on and on with many things. But our priorities, what we prioritize, are determined by what we place value in. A guy here one time, and he doesn't go in here more. Praise the Lord. He's in here arguing with me in my office about some things. And the guy didn't even read his Bible. He wants to tell me where I'm wrong in the Bible and all this nonsense. And it's like, he's not even spending time reading God's word. Where's the value in that? If I say I love God and I love his word and I never open it, in reality, do I really love it? It's important that we open. I'm not trying to bang. I'm trying to get us to think here. If I go home and I told my wife, hey, I love you, and I'll see you next week, she might go for that. I'm not quite sure. But my words would say I love you, but my actions would say something different and say that you're not valuable to me. So life's a matter of priorities. Priorities are determined by what we place value in. What we place value in determines what really is important to us. It's a priority because we value it. That's telling me what's important. That's where the rubber hits the road. When we look at our lives, we can ask ourselves a few questions to determine what our priorities really are. Say, what's this got to do with the Bible? Because we're not going to value the Bible if we're valuing something else over and above it. We've got to get this sorted out, people. Here's a couple of the questions. What am I invested in? This is my energy. What gets my time? How many of you know that? How many of you, and it's not good or bad. How many of you have Apple phones? Okay, good. The rest of you probably drive Fords. Now, in iOS 12, if you update it, they have a little thing in there. It's called screen time. How many of you knew that? How many of you have Apple and you update it to the newest software? Okay, go in the general settings and check it. It'll tell you what you've done in the last 24 hours. How many times you've picked your phone up, how many times you've looked at it, how much time you've spent on your phone, and it'll tell you how much time you've spent in every single one of those apps. Can I get a witness? I was going to say, parents, you could set time limits, but no, I don't think kids ought to have a cell phone. And you could say, I don't believe that. Well, just believe it and you'll save money, amen? That'll be good for you. But so you can look at it and track it. Well, we can track what gets what gets your time? What gets my talents? God's given each one of us talents, and we use it in our jobs, and we use it in our families, we use it in our everyday life, but do we use any of those talents for the Lord? If the Lord's important to us, we would, but we look at that. What gets my energy? What gets my treasure? So what are you invested in? That's your energy. In what areas, here's another one, do I want to succeed? This is my motivation. You know, people have dreams. People have desire. People have goals. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let's just make sure, as we have those goals, that we have the right kind of goals also. Okay? But where do you really want to succeed in life? If you were to lay it out, here's the thing that's really important to me. This is my motivation in life spiritually. Do you have goals spiritually? By the way, it's not wrong to set goals spiritually. When we're talking about soul winning, we're not trying to hammer on you. It's just the Bible tells us very, very clearly, it is our responsibility to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. And if you don't know how to do that, you can come here and the class will very clearly show you, and you can go out with somebody else. And there's nothing embarrassing about not knowing how to. There was a time I didn't know how to share the gospel, and someone helped me with that. Actually, it was Brother Esposito. He probably doesn't even remember. He gave me a little outline, as I told you. I taped it in my New Testament. But I tried to figure that out. But without goals spiritually, you know, and we try to set some goals each year as we get our theme and some base level things we can do. But do you want to succeed as a Christian? I know succeed is a kind of word that's probably not the best. Do you want to succeed in your relationships? You motivated. You know, so often we want to succeed in the things that just really don't matter. The other day, I don't know why, I guess I used to live in Chicago and I like pain, but I was watching a little bit of the Cub game. I was thinking about Pastor Esposito. I knew he was watching and I was praying for him. They had a guy, by the way, our bus division when I was in Bible college was right there. Wrigley Field was in our bus division. And I used to pick up a girl on the street right across on Waveland there. And so they showed a guy, he was outside the stadium sitting in a chair. It was an old gentleman outside the stadium. Because, you know, Wrigley Field is so small, a lot of the home runs go right outside of the stadium. And according to the guy on the television, he had been there for 59 years trying to get a ball home run that had been hit to him. And the other announcer said, wow, what a wonderful thing. I'm thinking, that's dumb. We went to Dodger Stadium early with the church one time, and my boys during batting practice found three of them in the outfield. It's like, hey, so there they go. They got 58 years to do whatever they want now. Listen, I felt like someone in the outfield should buy a baseball and throw it over the fence to him. Now, you want a baseball, you can get, but to live your life for something like that. My goal in life is to get a baseball. And the thing that's worse, a Cubs baseball. By the way, I wanted them to win the World Series a couple years ago. Now they got to wait another 108 years. Relationally, socially, what areas do we want to succeed in? And then the last question is, what is important to me and has my attention? This relates to my resources. I say it over and over and over, but it's very simple. How can you determine what's important to you? There's two things you need to check. You ready? You check your calendar. We'll get your time. You check your checkbook. We'll get your resources. You spend your money on. Some people wouldn't spend money on their family or something, but they want some big thing and they'll go get it and kill their budget. But what's important to us? We're getting to the Bible because that's what we want to be important to us. We may mistakenly believe that the things of this world are valuable because they will bring us happiness and joy. See, this is where the disconnect with the Bible is, okay? Here's the disconnect. I think everybody in one way or another wants to be, and you can use the word joy or happiness. We taught on Philippians, and I'm okay with you flipping those words. I know what you mean. No one wants to be miserable in life. Although I've met a few that I'm convinced maybe. The problem is we don't know what brings joy. And I'm not saying we ought to live for joy. But here's what we find. If we invest our life and we have the right priorities and we do the right thing, you know what the byproduct of all that is? We will have joy. You don't find it by looking for it. It's right there. It's almost like in the gift of salvation, wrapped up in the gift of salvation, is everything we need. We think salvation is just eternal destination, eternal security. But wrapped up inside of that is the life that God wants for you, a purpose, and the joy that God has for you. But we try to find it in the world. When we understand that joy comes from the Word has more value to us than it did before. And by the way, if we could have testimony time and some of us that got saved a little later in life could get up and maybe we lived in the world, we could testify all day long. That's why you listen, and I'm not getting on you, but you that grew up in our church and you grew up in our Christian school, be thankful. As a 17-year-old kid coming in off the street into the church, family wasn't there, You know, I raised in the streets, the whole nine yards, kicked out of school, the whole nine yards. And walking into church as a 17, 18-year-old, and seeing some of the youth in there talking about going out into the world who had never been out there, and I'm thinking like, whoa. I couldn't get out of that place fast enough. Why in the world would you want to go there? I mean, sometimes we think, well, I got to have that kind of love. No. Thank God you don't have to have that kind of misery. Man, the word of God is so much better than what the world has to offer. Verse 162 says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You know, these guys, sometimes they do these treasure hunts, right? You know, there's all of them. There was a gold chest in the Civil War that was lost. And they've been looking for it now for 150 years, and they haven't found it. But there are still people out there that think they're going to find it. Not going to happen. Okay? But if it did, think of the joy. Man, I did it. I was out here looking for this. I found it. He says, I rejoice that word as one that findeth great spoil. He goes, man, every day I'm digging in the Bible and I'm finding truths. And it's good stuff. He rejoiced in the word and the truth that he found. Verse 141, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He rejoiced in the way and the path that he followed. Amen. Finishing this thought about that, the world, many have bought into the lie that joy comes from the world, as I mentioned. That will devalue the value of the word to us. When we, as Christians, are in the church, and we start to think, we live this, you know, some people say, you live that shelter life. I don't want my kids to live that shelter life. Really? You want to expose them to garbage? You want to expose them to that which is harmful? I don't. Okay? I think, correct me if I'm wrong. I think as a parent, that's kind of our job, is to try to circumvent them. How many of you would let your child run in the middle of the street? Well, I had a couple of them I thought about. No, we wouldn't do that. We love our kids. But why wouldn't we do that spiritually? You know, we need their protection. Okay? But we're thinking that, you know, this if I get joy from the world, then the word of God's not very important to us. Look at these verses. We've looked at them many times. But I wonder sometimes if we look at them so quickly that we don't understand them. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that just simply means desire, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust or desires thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now these verses explain why valuing the world above the word is a really bad idea. Let me just give you those thoughts, and I think you have some bullets there. It kills our love for God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you understand that they are incompatible? Look, I cannot love my wife and love another woman at the same time, or at least successfully. I'm going to destroy that relationship. I'm going to destroy my marriage relationship. See? They don't go together. You know, I thought you can't. It was Spurgeon that said something. You can't. If you love roses, you got to hate weeds. They're incompatible. If I love the world and everything of the world is against God, then it's going to affect my love for God. Right. See, some of us wonder why we struggle with loving God. You know, we only have so much heart. We can't give that heart to that which not only isn't of God, it's actually opposed to God. And it's just not going to work. Okay? So if I'm loving the world, then that's the whole system of the world, okay? The values the world espouses, the things that the world says are right and wrong and are totally opposed to the principles of God's word. That's what that's talking about. But if I love that, then I'm not going to be able to love God. It's going to kill that love for God. And then verse 17, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. It's the opposite of our God. It's not of the Father. See, we all have desires, and because we're sinful, our desires have a tendency to stray towards that which is wrong. That's just how it is. And so all those desires that are wrong are the opposite of what God is and what God wants. They are opposed to each other. What we have tried to do in the church, and we must be very careful, the modern church has tried to marry the two. It's taking things that have nothing to do with God. In fact, the matter is, are godless, and they bring it into the world. Now, some are worst case scenario. Say, how does that how can that happen? Because we just don't get it. We try to, you know, it's like, I want everything. I want God, and I want the world, and I'll just kind of heap it all on my plate. Not going to work. God is, you say, well, God doesn't work that way. So the lust, all those lusts that fight against God, and by the way, just our pride. We're all proud. We all think we know what is best. We all want for ourselves. That's just natural. We have to fight it, though, because that's not God. And then it's not eternal like our God. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. World's coming to an end. Well, thank God there'll be a new heavens, new earth. I mean, it's all going to be new. There's a heaven. There's an eternity. But everything we're valuing in this world, one day, it's over. Now, not even thinking that the world is going to be over, but our life will be over someday. It's done. It's gone. And all those desires we had that were wrong or whatever, those are all gone. And they won't mean a pittance in the scope of eternity. We'll look at our lives and say, you know, we're just spinning my wheels. The world passed away in the lust of, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Why does he abide forever? Because God's forever. Now, as we're starting to wrap this up, understand that the value of something is determined by the worth we presently place in it. That's where value comes from. Something is valuable. Now, again, we can go back and forth here and argue semantics. Okay, the Bible is inherently valuable whether we think so or not, but stay with me, you know what I'm saying. But look, you know, how come this thing costs $20 and that thing costs $200? There are some things that, you know, you make them the same and one's not as valuable as the other. You know why? Because people want that. For some reason, they've placed a value in it, and when you place a value in something, you know, in business, you can raise the price. You know? When you go to the store and it's like, you know, 75% off, it's not because they love you. It's because no one wants that. Are you with me? Okay? After Christmas, I had to get some batteries or something for the house, and I ran over to Kmart real quick. And Steve, my little grandson Steve was over there. And they had this sale, and they had this tube full of these cars. Only $5. So I'm like, he's hanging out the house tonight. I'll get it for him. I found out why they were $5. Steve just opened the tube, dumped the cars out, and played with the tube. He wasn't even interested in the cars. They were kind of lame, to be real honest with you. That's why they were $5. Now, if every kid in America wanted those cars, they would be worth a lot more than $5. So something is valuable because we have chosen to place worth in it. We are deciding the value, not God. Situation, look, if you're in the desert and you're dying of thirst, what would be more valuable to you, water or gold? You can't drink gold, okay? If you were starving to death, you don't want money, you want food. Okay? Because at that particular moment, that's more valuable to you, and you'd probably pay anything to get it. Look at Esau sold his birthright. Thought he was dying for food. Why? We should choose to let God determine the worth and go with his view. God's word's important. Jeremiah 15:6, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me as the joy and rejoicing of my heart. for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. Now, really, what we are saying is that we should place value in God's truth. I love these verses. There's a song, but I can't sing, so you're not going to get me to sing it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Here's the key. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Life is a matter of decisions that we make based on what we determine is important. That's why it's very important we have our values right. If our values are right, this book is going to be a big deal. It's just going to be a big deal. It's not going to be something we bring to church on Sunday and then we set it down the rest of the week and dust it off before we come back to church. Remember years ago when we first started the church, it was a Cambodian church. You know the story. But Pastor and I, before the church started, we were out in the Cambodian community visiting. And we were at one Cambodian's house, and he had some old VHS. We don't use those anymore. Documentaries of the killing fields and the Khmer Rouge that were produced by BBC in England. But I'll never forget they had one, and some guy got into Phnom Penh right after the Khmer Rouge came in. They came into the city. If you're Cambodian, you understand this. And they basically they just cleared the city, the capital city. Everybody out. They were starting at what they called year zero. We're starting over. That's why they were killing all the ones who were educated. But I remember he got into the city, and here's Phnom Penh, the capital city, and it's empty. And there was like a gentle breeze blowing through the city, and there was their money. Because he had determined that their money was no longer any good. And here's the money in the streets, in the gutters, and the wind just blowing it. It no longer had any value because things had changed. We sometimes unwisely discard things which are really valuable and of significance. You know, I don't want to look back at the end of my life and say, I traded, you know, Christianity, I traded the Bible for this. I got rid of something that to me it was of no value, only to find out later that it was of great value. Many years ago, a man was at a yard sale, and he bought an old set of photography negatives. And I think the guy wanted like $90. He talked the guy down to $75. And the guy was looking at these old, I think they were glass negatives from like the early 1900s, 1920s, and it looked like some really nice landscapes of the mountains and so forth. So this guy bought them. He took them in to have them looked at, and he come to find out that they were from a man named Ansel Adams. He was a very famous photographer. Those negative plates were valued at $200 million. And yet a guy at a yard sale couldn't get rid of them fast enough. Okay? We want to make sure that when it comes to the truth, we hang on to it. We want to make sure that we have the right mindset. Let me leave you with this verse. Buy the truth, Proverbs 23:23, and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. I hope we understand the value and importance of the Bible that God has given us. And I know we teach the kids, you know, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me, and they got that. They got that memorized. But I'm just talking about on a day-by-day basis. So many of our problems in life, you know why? Because we're not following the Word. I mean, it has value to us until it disagrees with what I want. And let's understand that God's word is valuable. The psalmist could say it was more valuable to him than financial prosperity. Let's pray.